Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today is a special episode. We're bringing back Kelly Loudermilk, who I'm proud to announce is our most recent author, and we've been working on this book collaboration. We've been working on putting this book out for, I don't know, going on a year. And Kelly, I'm so happy to welcome you back to the show and say congrats. You're now an author with Mission Matters.
I'm very excited, and I'm very honored to be an author officially with Mission Matters. So it's an awesome moment for sure.
Yeah. So I'm excited to get into your content today. And you wrote about leadership, and the subject matter was size matters, why big companies have managers, but small ones have leaders. So we are going to dig into that topic today and also learn more about Build HR, your company. But before we do that, we will start this episode. You already know the drill. As a return guest, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Kelly, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Kelly, what mission matters to you?
My mission is truly reinventing how we view people in the workplace. It is one of the largest portions of our lives, and it is no longer where it needs to be with how we are as a society. And my mission is to facilitate the success of how organizations work with their people and how they view their people in the everyday, day-to-day.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on, and I love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives to share why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really what we can all learn from that so that we grow together. So before we get into the book, I want to maybe take a step or two back and really just, like, how did you get started on this path in business and into HR? Like where did it all begin for you?
What's so funny is you'll often hear from very tenured HR folks, we fell into it by accident. Newer folks are actually choosing that path, which is exciting to see. I fell in it through an opportunity around consulting and facilitating the operational build out for an organization that led into people. And I fell in love with the science behind everything there is to do with people, the neuroscience, the neurolinguistics, the psychology, the physiology. And I love bringing those types of practices and things that I do when it comes around people operations and people's success in the workplace. And from there, I have just worked with clients and employers alike, scaling their organizations primarily for small businesses under 50 into that, 200 plus count, and facilitating their infrastructure to do so. And now I'm working more in a coaching environment for a lot of those organizations that do have internal HR or people to help them understand that transition of how to be thinking differently on approaching the people operations.
That's great. And I will circle back to that because I want to talk about Build HR. But before we do, let's get into the book. So I think, but this you set the table wonderfully, or the stage wonderfully, because your topic overall, size matters, why big companies have managers, but small ones have leaders. So you've worked with small companies, you work with large companies, you work with companies that were small and turning into large organizations, as you've mentioned, going from, under 50 employees to hundreds of employees. A lot of different things and topics that you could have written about as it relates to HR with your tenure and with your experience. Why and how did you choose this one?
I think this one is the most large identifiable trend that can impact several different things. And so for me, it was more identifying the root cause versus tackling one issue. And that was the main reason why I was able to bring this topic, because I thought it was a larger root cause in why management kind of 101 is different in different types of organizations, but then as a larger overarching industry or topic. And I felt that this was one way to address the issue on a much more macro scale, is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And I want to pull out a couple things from the book. And for everybody watching this, just so you know, we're not going to cover all of the content that Kelly wrote about. Why? Because I want you to buy the book still, all right? Like, we're still publishers. We still sell books. So there'll be a link in the show notes. But we're going to pull out some content from there. And obviously, Kelly's going to provide a lot of value with this. But so some of the things she wrote about: willingness to let go, emotional awareness, be an active listener, be present, don't judge, show empathy. And I want to start off with this idea of willingness to let go. Can you elaborate on that and maybe some of the importance of why that's so important for organizations?
The reason why leaders only grow when they're willing to delegate and let go so that they can facilitate their growth. And if you are holding on to every little thing out of a fear or ownership, you will never expand your own ability. And I've seen this in a lot of different size of organizations. Like you've mentioned, I've spanned that whole spectrum, small as 3, as large as 15,000. I've hit it all. And that is a very big blocker for a lot of leadership success, because you will not let go and let others take over and succeed. And so you end up hindering your own growth, and you end up hindering the growth of those around you. And it ends up amplifying back on you in a negative way. And it doesn't facilitate growth in general for the organization or your team or yourself. And so that's what, like, the biggest trend you'll see in small organizations. For them to be successful for their leaders, they have to let go. They have no choice. And so that's one reason why they're able to facilitate their individual growth. And in larger organizations, it's very siloed about ownership. And it's just the way that they're structured. And there's nothing wrong with that. But having the ability to delegate more or to open up to new opportunities is important to still be able to facilitate growth in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And it's so interesting you say that. And I think part of me hosting this show is just therapy for me as an entrepreneur, Kelly, because as you're saying these things, I'm remembering maybe some of the early days when we brought on our first editor or our first person that was helping with the show, like the early days. In the very beginning, I did everything. So as a leader and as somebody that wanted to grow an organization and a media outlet, like, I had to slowly let go and let people make mistakes, but also let people succeed. Right? Like, that's the highlight there. And now, as I look back, like, to those early days, like, you know, from when it was like 2 or 3 people, now then it was 10 people, then, you know, over 20 now that are with us. And I see every like area and every level of growth or every rung, like, having to let more and more go to let others succeed. So I think it's relevant. I'll pick on myself in here. That's not always an easy thing to do, especially in the early days when you're assigning things and everybody's learning new processes, or even if you're building new departments, like, that stuff is hard. Any tips on, like, how a leader that's maybe having a little bit of trouble letting go can kind of, because I know you also work on the coaching side of things as well, can kind of start down that path of letting go so that they're not holding back growth? Any tips or things that you've seen in your you know, coaching and work that have maybe worked with some leaders?
There's a book that I really like. I don't have the title off the top of my head. It's an extremely small book, under 100 pages, and it talks about delegation. And it's through a story line of how to delegate. But essentially, it's really being open to that feedback and being okay with failure. That's the biggest step you have to take. And that is so difficult. But having the ability to be emotionally vulnerable, you know, Brene Brown talks about that as a key, you know, leadership skill set. And if you're able to do that and let people know, it is hard for me to let go. What do you need from me so that I can make it clear for you what my expectations are, so that we can facilitate this transition? Don't be afraid to admit that it's hard to let go, because it is. It's your baby. And you have an expectation that you are assuming they know, and they don't know what your expectation is. And so if you can have a real conversation around that when you're starting to train someone on something, or even just talking through, like, I want to hand this off to you, but this is my feeling about it, it can at least help minimize your fear of letting go in that regard.
And so that what I just mentioned, that is one side of the issue that you mentioned, and that's maybe for the smaller organizations that are getting larger and larger. So as the company gets larger, or your organization may already be larger, and you have these departments or these areas that are siloed and don't necessarily talk as much or work the way you want, like how do you approach that one as it relates to your example?
That's a lot of trickiness, because in larger organizations, those types of systems are set up as semi-ecosystems or communities, very similar to like a city operating in a town, right? And so there's a lot of nuances that are dependent on the type of culture that has been created in that environment. And it's really understanding how to navigate or find the right partners or amplifiers to facilitate change. So knowing who the key stakeholders are, starting conversations, not being afraid to connect with people outside of your particular department is going to be key, and understanding kind of the larger why, and being able to start conversations around, oh, you handle this side of this project or this process. We handle this side. There's some gaps here. Let's talk about what we can do to help each other out so that we're both successful. But having that larger why, or that mission, so to speak, that can tie everything together, it really helps from the higher ups that are kind of more stringent on what they can and cannot do in language. And the only way you can do that is understanding what they're thinking. And that's kind of that, you know, the why behind certain things, or why things are the way they are, and break it down from there. So it is a lot more difficult to navigate because of the silos that are put in place, but you have to kind of facilitate your own ship in that sea and start navigating those different areas as much as you can to start picking away at the areas that you can win, and the areas that you understand are off limits and you know not to worry about moving forward, because you can only control what you can control. And unfortunately, it is a broken system in a lot of larger organizations because of that. But you have to understand what you are comfortable with in your own mental health and your own kind of growth as well, and not risk your own mental health for the sake of just one type of project that you're wanting to work on. So understanding your own boundaries is going to be important.
And I feel like, and again, using Mission Matters as an example here. So I think it's also kind of tricky for organizations that have always been virtual or have that virtual culture. Because I remember, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, when I was younger, when I was just starting my career, like how did the leaders kind of do things and make these departments? I worked for really large companies for most of my career, other than being an entrepreneur. And how did the leaders, like, what were they able to do? And I was like, oh, a lot of it was centered around like team building. And we had like in-person events or even retreats or these like moments of even like that I kind of took for granted of like a happy hour or like breaking bread with people in person. But now that we don't, and those relationships were built, and that made, in my opinion, us as an organization more willing to break down those silos and work together. Didn't make it everything is smooth, but I feel like it was a little bit of speed of trust for some of that when you had the luxury of in person. Now that, you know, for many organizations, part or maybe all of their day-to-day operations can be virtual. Am I the only one experiencing this, or is it a little tricky now?
It is tricky. It's a topic of trend since the pandemic, especially in HR and people operations, because they are the facilitator of culture. And what you're talking about often gets tied to the notion of culture. Mm-hmm. And what becomes tricky is you have to meet people where they are. We're in an environment where employers and employees are going through a constant transition of power, of who is more in power, who can stand that line, who can cross that line more often. And we've seen that in the pandemic. We've seen it with the macroeconomic changes in 2022. And we're going to continue to see it move forward as we find our balance. Always feel like it makes sense for them is going to make you more successful. So having multiple opportunities, you're going to have people across the spectrum that just want to clock in, clock out, and do their job. And you're going to have people who love every little aspect, every little event that you hold, and they want to be present. And you have to give the opportunity of range for everyone in that regard, because it's okay if you have someone who doesn't like those events. They are just as valuable to the organization as those who do. And you don't want to discriminate based on that, because you could lose really good talent just because they didn't attend a happy hour. And there's actually a legal case that won in New York based on that alone because they didn't want to go to a happy hour. So you have to be really careful about those types of things. But the idea is to facilitate meeting people where they're at in multiple different ways, whether those are on-sites and hub-oriented relationships, whether there's multiple virtual events that are open to any and everyone, but the key, regardless of how you host it, is the intention behind it. If you don't have a clear intention or purpose behind that meeting, kind of going back to that mission, right, then there's no point in it. So people have to understand why they're visiting these hours or these places. Is it for planning purposes? Is it truly just to break bread and get to know one another? Is it for strategizing a new opportunity? Having the intention is going to set up everything else in regards to meeting each other, whether it's virtually or in person. But the main message, meet people where they're at so that you can facilitate the best success for everyone involved.
Yeah. And I think that idea of meeting people where they're at, not just emotionally or, you know, intelligence wiser, but like also, you know, there's other layers to that, right? Like emotional intelligence is one of the things that you write about also. And one of the other things is just thinking about like different cultures and things and how we're perceived. Like, so as we're, you know, we're international organization. We're everywhere from Philippines to India to Latin America to United States. I mean, we're all over the place here. So like, all of those things, they play in, they're all ingredients into this recipe of trying to ultimately, you know, grow the business and be true to your mission, right?
Absolutely. It all is a piece of the puzzle is the best way to put it. Every piece plays a part in making your puzzle and your vision and your picture come to life.
So a important piece of that puzzle and one that you do write about is emotional intelligence. So I want to spend some time on maybe this concept and how it plays a part in this ecosystem. So how should leaders today really be approaching that topic in relation to really growing their organization?
I think one of the things that I, you know, fell in love with Brené Brown's, you know, vulnerability pieces. But the reason why I like that so much is because we are all human. We have, you know, science that is embedded in us that dictates a lot of what we do and how we respond. And emotional intelligence is being able to understand what those triggers are, what's occurring in those who are around us, and being able to essentially read the room and navigate it accordingly. That's like a synopsis of it, right? And I think emotional intelligence, especially given the pandemic and the macroeconomic changes of 2022, are more important than ever because anxiety is at an all-time high, regardless of the generation, of what is this going to do to me and my family and my ability to provide. And some people don't have that anxiety. They are well set up for success, and that's phenomenal. But for the average person in the workplace, we're not set up for success. And it's really difficult to come to your job every day worried about what can happen, especially with layoffs in the news or anything along those lines. And so being mindful of that is extremely important, especially today. So for example, when I have team meetings, I'm not afraid to say, like, I'm going to spend a minute and be vulnerable. I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm having issues navigating X, Y, and Z. And I say this not to cause any concern on your end because I'm navigating it as I see fit, but it's causing issues for me. And I want to be open and transparent about what I'm dealing with in my life right now, according to like what's happening in the workplace, because that helps me make it safe for you to do so. And I don't make it, you don't have to bring anything up for you, but I want you to realize that I'm showing this because I'm human and I know you're human too. And let's like be able to facilitate success for both of us. Cause at the end of the day, and this is something I might get in trouble for from like larger organizations, at the end of the day, your job is truly a contract of expectations set for a certain price. And there are certain parameters that aren't worth that you're getting paid for. And so you want to meet those expectations and you want to do them well, because that's you as a brand, that's you as your own business in a way in that organization. But there is like no means should you feel as though you have to do so much more when you're not compensated as such, or the expectation is not there. And that facilitates a lot of pressure and a lot of anxiety for those who are trying just to make sure they're okay from a psychological safety standpoint. And that leads to burnout. And so it's a really cyclical catch-22 that occurs, especially in younger generations when they're navigating the workplace for the first time. But it's just a contract of expectation in regards to money. That's what it is. And people need to realize that, because from a small business perspective, that's really hard for an owner to understand that they're not going to care as much as you do. It's not their baby. And that's okay too. And you have to be okay with that being okay, because if you're not, you're going to burn everyone out and you're going to have a lot of turnover. And that's not going to lead to success for anyone. So it's really just being mindful of those types of things and being okay with a little bit of balance versus one extreme or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say for all of the Mission Matters employees that are watching, don't listen to what Kelly just said. No. No, seriously, except for our organization. No, seriously, I understand and I agree what you're saying. And that is a tricky thing. And it's okay. But what I found is on the other side of that, like kind of almost in tandem to the letting go part, is that when people have the ability to kind of step away, because the leader or the co-founders or whatever it is, they don't ever get to step away. It's always on their mind. They always, they're always headed in a certain direction. But for the, for everybody else that is the supporting, to make whatever that vision or mission like a reality, if they have the ability to unplug and to not always be on, then I found like a lot, that's when a lot of the creativity, the new ideas come and the other things that are not going to necessarily come from somebody that's focusing on it 24/7. That's been my experience.
That's actually proven science. I mean, if you look at any of the leading neuroscientists or those who are in IO psychology, like Adam Grant, they all talk about that. You get your best ideas when you're taking a shower or taking a walk. Mm-hmm. It is proven in like legitimate science, not just from like, voodoo talk, right, of culture, that is actually a proven productivity boost as well as creativity boost. And you have to be able to understand to bring that into your day-to-day. And that is going to lead to retention, success, scaling, and similar to Gravity Payments with Dan Price. They're well known now in regards to how they approach certain things when it comes to their people. Quite honestly, his approaches have worked time and time again across different pandemics and macroeconomic changes and even a downturn in the economy. And quite honestly, he approaches it that way. It's like, what is best for the employee and myself is best for my clients. And they have grown tremendously with that kind of mentality. And I'm paraphrasing based on just what I've seen in the news about him. But that's kind of where I think he approaches, is around just treating people like people, because he's a human being too. And we don't really have that balance right now, especially as a society when it comes to the work-life place, but we're trying to slowly get there. And that's what a lot of people operation pieces are doing. That's what a lot of human resources departments are trying to target. It's a very slow process, but you see a lot of trends in the people area trending more towards like, hey, can we at least try to be more humane with some of these things? And that's the minimum requirement. And we're getting pats on the backs for like severances for layoffs, but that's the minimum requirement. That's not going above and beyond. That's bare minimum to treat somebody humanely. And that's kind of one of those things where we're trying to shift that conversation of like, we've been doing under the minimum. It's time to start doing at least the minimum of respect that a fellow human being deserves.
I want to shift here slightly. I want to spend some time talking about Build HR and the work that you're doing there. So for some of those that aren't familiar with it, like maybe tell us a little bit more about the company just to start.
Yeah. So Build HR in the simplest of form is truly an outsourced HR department or consultant agency. And so primarily we work with small businesses under 50, sometimes as large as 100, but ideally under 50 that either don't have an HR department or have a department of one, or they're using HR ad hoc, kind of as needed. And we really help to facilitate everything that they need from a payroll, compliance, benefits, anything along those lines. Now, we are not a benefit provider, but we partner with different vendors that we think are going to help you in your success. So that's the primary goal of Build HR. We are transitioning to more coaching for larger companies where they're needing more guidance around strategy or people management, and what does that look like? That's been kind of a stepstone since the publishing of the book, which has been exciting. And so we're launching different things in the future that will be successful for more people-oriented items. But right now, the primary definition is truly just simply an outsourced agency when it comes to HR departments for smaller organizations.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of using outsourced agencies, whether it's HR, whether it's like outsourced HR, whether it's outsourced like CFO services, and there's a number of others. And the reason why I found them very useful, and we also use outsourced services, like for example, an outsourced CFO, is because we get a lot of value out of working with somebody that's extremely tenured, number one, but they have the vantage point of working with different industries and different trends. Not saying that having internal HR is not good or internal like is not good, but typically when you do, just in general, like your ideas and everything that you're doing are pretty on trend for what's going on in your organization. So I can see why like larger companies would be now working with you on the consulting side, because you're in many organizations, you're doing many different things. So you're keeping up on trends and a lot of other things that their internal staff, like they're already busy doing their day-to-day and what they have to do to keep the wheels of the company working and in regards to HR as it relates to their day-to-day function. Am I off on this or?
I would say it's not so much a but statement, but an and statement. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the way the HR industry was created is out of the idea of getting the most out of people possible. That's that kind of that Taylorism back in the 1950s. That is the foundation of a lot of things that have occurred in HR and people management. And it's progressed tremendously since then. We see more people going more towards this idea of people operations. And I think the next evolution is going to be people success, really facilitating a successful relationship between somebody in the workplace. So I work with a lot of smaller organizations because they just don't have the budget. Larger organizations, they may be in their day-to-day, but they also don't have the perspective of their leadership team understanding the importance of their role and the role they can play and facilitating their own growth and success, even in a revenue standpoint. And so my job in those roles is really transitioning them to view people as more than just a day-to-day function when it comes to certain checklist items and pushing them more towards like they're a coach, they're an advocate, they're an advisor that can push you to actually get more for less out of the organization, the culture, the people, so on and so forth. So I really try to facilitate as much as I can from the futuristic approach of how to deal with people, because I think that will set more companies up for success and become an employer of choice. But at the same time, there are smaller organizations that do just need help from the day to day, and they don't have time to hire a full-time hire. So it's not so much a but statement, but an and statement when it comes to the smaller organizations versus the larger organization needs.
So Kelly, I just have to say it has been great having you back on the show. I'm thrilled to continue to promote this book with you. I will have a link in the show notes so that our audience can pick up a copy and dive deeper into your writing. But for today, I just have to ask, what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for Build HR?
Yeah, so Build HR is currently going through an expansion of ability to service different needs. And so I'm looking to launch a People Success Academy around what does it mean to be a real people manager in a way that can navigate both small and large businesses alike, taking staples from science, neurolinguistics, psychology, biology, all of those things play a piece in how we operate and how we know people on the other end of a call will operate. And being able to take those and put them into your actual management strategy helps tremendously. So it's very small things, but the amplification of that is tremendous in retention and also just growth. And so I'm launching that academy in 2023 year just to facilitate that success. You kind of opened a Pandora's box with the book where I want to write more. And so I'm hoping to facilitate another book at some way, shape, or form, hopefully within the next calendar year or so. But it's one of those things where their opportunities are endless right now for Build HR. And we're taking one step at a time, navigating those opportunities outside of just what we do at the core, which is that HR outsourcing partner.
Oh, that makes me feel so good. I'm glad that I opened the writing and publishing Pandora's box for you. That makes me happy, and I'm excited to see the new works and the new books and the new things that you choose to continue to produce. That being said, if somebody's listening to this, Kelly, and they want to learn more or connect with you and your team over at Build HR, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way right now is just to simply email me. We are going through so much internally and we want to facilitate as much as we can without breaking systems. So my email is my first name, Kelly, at yourhrsource.com. That is my website as well, but also LinkedIn. I have a pretty unique last name, as you can see in the title. And so it's pretty simple to find me on LinkedIn and be able to facilitate a connection there as well. So those are the three main ways to get a hold of me, is truly through that email or LinkedIn. And then in the future, when we get things a little bit more betterly structured in our website as of the spring of 2023, that would be the other pace as well.
Wonderful. And we'll put that information in the show notes so that our audience can connect. And speaking of the audience, if this is the first time you've listened to a Mission Matters episode or engaged with our platform, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, really what they're doing, how they're doing it, and what we can learn from that so we all grow together. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or engaging to you, hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Kelly, really, it has been a pleasure. I look forward to continuing to promote this book with you. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.